B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades, the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to
Good
rock.
Afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. Thursday, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio. Ollie McConkast, we finally have double sport tonight. We can finally analyze some coming up on Friday. And the Sixers are the most intriguing. We've been following the Flyers over the last several days, and tonight they could really put the Columbus Blue Jackets out of their misery with a win on the road. We'll see if they can pull that off. But the Sixers, very intriguing with the Sixers. They play a fairly easy opponent. But it's the new configuration that we're most concerned about and how they're going to be able to gel from this point on. And yesterday we took a pulse on which team had a bigger playoff run in them and whether you were playoff positive for both these teams. I got an email from a guy who, and I'll just read it. He says, I need someone to explain to me why people are still optimistic about a deep playoff run for the 76ers. They are 9-19 on the road. I still can't wrap my head around that road record. I don't think this is due to a lack of talent because you don't go 25-2 at home without talent. But if you can't win on the road, you can't win in the playoffs. Well, he's not wrong, but he's missing something. This is a different era of Sixer basketball. It's just started. It's a different era. You can't be oblivious to the fact that they have changed. Now, you might not think it's a significant change, but we'll have to determine that when time goes by, when we see what this is. But they made a two-player improvement to their roster, one of which may fit into the starting lineup better than a guy who really wasn't performing in the starting lineup. And now you got perhaps, and I say perhaps because I have no idea, The re-energized duo, who are now lovey-dovey. Well, all right, I'm exaggerating. Maybe they're not lovey-dovey. But it seems like, in one game at least, they realized the benefits of playing well together. Right? So there are two new avenues we have to go down with the Sixers. So the guy is legitimate. He has a legitimate question. Their road record is terrible. But their road record was with the old. Now, is this a new enough thing that we can go, that old record doesn't apply? Is it fair to just wipe that away and say, okay, the season actually starts right now? Is that fair, Tyrone, Mr. Sixer?
In a way, yeah. It's also, yes, and also 9-19 is bad. It's very bad. But it's also not the complete picture just yet. I think you have to let it play out and see what happens in this last 27. They start playing really well on the road. What if on Saturday they go on the road, for example, and beat the Bucks? Stuff like that. I don't think you've seen enough evidence yet to decide they can't do it. I can understand pessimism, but this whole I don't see how, well, let it play out all the way. I think at least do that before you decide they can't do something.
There are two things that can happen here. One is a transformation takes place. However big it is, a transformation that helps them be better than what they were. The other thing is, there will be no change at all. Right? Because we could look at this. These two guys might not mean a thing to them. Ben and Joel may go back to, you know, these games where they look lost. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm not oblivious to the fact that that also could happen. Like, I'm not saying, oh, my God, look, they did this, this, and this. That means this. I can't say that. But I think that it becomes really intriguing and interesting on what they are for the rest of the year. I am, you know me, it takes me a long time to get convinced.
Right.
As far as I go, here, you know my progression. They were going to lose in the first round of the playoffs because they were going to stick in the fifth seed. They improved themselves a little bit. So now I think they have a chance to actually win the first round. That's as far as I go. I want to go on a longer journey. But I got barriers in front of me. I can't jump over them because I'm old. And I can't climb anymore. So the barrier has to be removed from me, Tyra.
I get it. And that's a fair way to look at it. But then when somebody looks at the Flyers on the balance, and I'm not, you know, I've been pro Flyers all year.
Uh-huh.
I also don't know if I could just say, oh, well, for sure, the Flyers are making a run either. In fact, the Flyers are not yet a lock to make the playoffs, while the Sixers are at least a lock to get into the postseason. That's why I'm just confused how I understand all the Sixers' pessimism. I watch every dribble of every game just like everybody else. It's just, I don't understand how it would be so out of whack, and we know for sure right now Flyers are definitely good. I'm just not there. I think they're going to make the playoffs, and I think they can win a round, but I don't know if I can go, oh, yeah, the Flyers are going to make it, and the Sixers, they're one and done. I think they're both going to make the playoffs, and then we'll see as of right this minute.
Okay. I want to kind of discuss this whole thing here, because there are people that look at this and go, you're judging the Sixers, and I guess it's hard not to, but you're judging the Sixers by an older standard. Not an old standard, but an older standard. The standard has changed at least a little bit. You have to allow for that. So we'll see. You just have to let it breathe and see where it goes. All right, the Phillies are in spring training. Joe Girardi, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to him when we get down to spring training. But he was asked about this Astros thing on a national radio show. And I just want to quote him here, because I wish he would have gone further. He says that the current penalty for the Astros is not a deterrent to future cheating, I assume he means. So here's what he says. There are some people that lost their jobs that were really the people that had to pay for it. And what he means by that is marginal players who were victims of the hitting onslaught by the Astros. They might have been pitchers or whatever, and they had to get sent back to the minor leagues, or they were demoted from starter. I don't want to really get into that because I don't think that's substantive. But he says the financial gain for the players is substantial if they have big seasons because of this. So if there's no punishment for them, I'm not sure that it stops. So he is saying that cheating per se will not stop.
Right.
He does know that video thing is now never going to happen again. Right?
I don't know if that's the case.
Well,
that version, but I think there'll be another way.
All right, so until somebody smarter comes along from Apple who can do something substantial, we at least have a period of calm, just like we had a period of calm from PEDs.
Probably.
Until something else hits later.
Probably.
So then what he says, because the financial gain is similar to the steroid era, is very similar. If you have know it's coming, you have a big year and you're a free agent, there's a lot of money to be made there, and players want to take care of their families. And then he goes, I'm not exactly sure what the right answer is. Well, you got to give me an answer. You can't stop there, Joe. Listen, I like Joe Girardi, and I think I know what he wants to say. Well, just say it then.
He's saying players should have been suspended.
Yes. And these guys always fall into the baseball protective mode.
Yeah.
Like, they start saying something, and they can go to the next step like that, and then they go, I'm not exactly sure what the right answer is. But I don't know how much of a deterrent it is for players right now. Well, he could have easily said the players should have been suspended. But he is cutting into his own sport, and these guys don't want to go against the fraternity.
And that's tough, Mike, because if you look at it, a GM lost their job, a few managers at different spots lost their jobs, and that's pretty much the extent of it. The players who, like Altuve, sitting there with an MVP, a World Series. He's good.
And he's going to make the same salary.
Yes, I mean, to every city, he didn't lose anything. Not a game, not a draft pick. I think they won't. Well, they lost a draft pick or two. Like, but if you think about it, no play. The players could. Let's say it's not the video thing. Let's say there's a different version of cheating this year, and they figure it out and they do it this year. They can cash in free agency, and the only person that'll get fired is a GM, a manager, a pitching coach, this and that. So if he's right, though, if you're a player, there is absolutely no reason from this Astros situation not to cheat. Zero reason other than, oh, my colleagues won't like me. But the check's still going to clear every 2 weeks.
Did they have to really give these players immunity to get the information? They had enough snitches. Didn't they have enough snitches?
I think
that
so.
That played for the Astros? That they had to give all these players immunity from suspensions and not get the information? I mean, what if Bernstein got information? Baseball and all the security force couldn't dig in information? With all the snitches that were out there and piece something together without having to give players immunity?
They didn't want to suspend players. That's why I think they gave the immunity to avoid it. Because, okay, you give
well, then it's a sham.
You give Altuve 20 games, let's say. Because to me, 20, 50, whatever, let's say 20 games, just because it's a round number. He talks about a spring training. Then he gets suspended 20 games, comes back, he got to answer it again. You give another guy 50 games. He talks about his spring training. 50 games later, we're talking about it again. And I think baseball, and that's why this commissioner, I think, has to go, wanted this to go away. And he thought some four draft picks, Tyler corrected me, some managers get fired, and this will, a GM, a $5 million fine to a billionaire, which makes no sense, this will all go away. And it turns out he played it completely wrong. Because this hasn't gone away at all.
No. And as I said before, I don't know if you were here when I said it, all these worshipers of baseball, these people who cover baseball for a living, this big fraternity of baseball dudes, mm-hmm. right? All these insiders got no sniff of anything. They never had a sniff of the PED. They never had a sniff of the cheating. They're supposed to be embedded with this sport. Not one tip that these guys get. They live the game like it's a religion.
That's a good point.
610-632-0975. We'll come back. We'll talk to the people on a Thursday on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and ABC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All righty. It is 2:19 on the Mike Missinelli Show. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson. HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Ferguson has a counter location. It's on North 7th Street in Philadelphia, where you can get equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Natalie is off. She's in Hollywood. Say goodbye to Hollywood. Is that Billy Joel? Say goodbye, my baby. No, you guys don't know.
I don't know.
But Tyler Jolie, who's like 17.
Yeah, he definitely does not know.
I turned 18 the other day.
Hey, he's an old rocker, though. Anyway, Tyler's in for Natalie today. And Tyler's in to start the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Give your family their weekends back with Husqvarna Automower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Check out the Automower in person at the showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Tyler.
Thank you, Mike. So the question today is, with the Phillies manager Joe Girardi saying that MLB punishments won't be a deterrent to cheat, what should the league have done? So early results, the answers are suspend players, vacate the World Series, postseason ban, or all of the above. Just a little bit under 100 votes to get started. Almost half, 47%, say all of the above. Second highest option is 23% with suspend the players.
Okay. Sounds good. Also, a big issue, which we'll get to talk about, and Tyrone is against it completely. I have no opinion. but it's going to be an interesting conversation. We'll get to, we have a lot of things to talk about today. We may have to also talk about, there's a little situation going on here with a well-known caller, to this show that I think we need to straighten out once and for all.
I would like that.
Okay. I have people know what we're talking about. We're talking about Jim from Havertown. And I'll give you the specifics on this a little later. In the meantime, let's go to the phones and talk to Avery in Sicklerville. Avery, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Avery.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Avery?
Not much, but first, the song you were singing, that was Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. All right.
Not bad voice, but yeah, it's to the main
Booney
point.
Doesn't like the that's not one of Billy Joel's finest, according to Booney.
I know, but you sang good anyway.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, but yeah, I want to discuss about the two teams, Flyers and Sixers. Mm-hmm. It makes me proud that it looks like for the first time since 2012, both of them might be playing in April for a playoff chance. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, like, which one, in my opinion, would have the longest, like, streak in the playoffs. But mm-hmm. I would say the Flyers, because they're reflecting their coach. They're pushing. They respect their coach. They're willing to play for him, and they're willing to do whatever it is to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. But, you know, also, do you believe their talent level is quality enough to get past a couple of rounds in the playoffs? It's all well and good to go, yeah, they're well coached well, they play hard, but everybody does that in the playoffs, right?
Yeah,
it's the teams that have the ultra talent that actually succeed, even though the NHL playoffs are more wide open than the NBA. Like, no bad teams win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Like, for the Sixers, I want to root for Brett Brown. I like mm-hmm. Brett Brown, but if he could just do the same coaching he did for the Clippers game and the previous games we won at home and bring that mm-hmm. on the road, we'll be a legit threat, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't think the Flyers have a better chance to succeed in the playoffs.
I respect that.
Because of talent. I think the Sixers are more talent qualified to succeed in the playoffs. But you could be right. Like, we were talking about it yesterday. The St. Louis Blues win a Stanley Cup, right? They, by all measures, weren't an ultra-talented team. They had a great goaltender, and they played really hard, and so they wound up winning the Stanley Cup. So could the Flyers be that level? I'm not sure Hart is at that level yet to win tough games on the road as they advance hard in the playoffs.
Well, you're not wrong. I want both of them to advance. Like, if the Flyers get by the first round, I think they may go far because they never got by the first round in a long time.
All right. I mean, again, I can't discount it. The way the Flyers are playing right now, and they could get a lot of credit. If they win a home-and-home here against the team that really has to battle with them to get in the playoffs, it tells me a lot about this team and their character.
For sure.
Now, if you had to bet this game tonight, I took an L last night, man.
Yeah.
Although I didn't bet Rutgers, Michigan. With all that carp and the blather I had on that game yesterday.
You didn't pull the trigger.
And I didn't pull the trigger. Instead of what I thought, I went with a safer bet, and it killed me.
The line's slender on the road.
It is slender.
Flyers.
I saw it's a slender line.
Plus 105. I'm liking the Flyers.
You like the Flyers to go home and home.
I do. That's slim.
It is slim.
That's slim.
I saw the line because I was inclined to think that Columbus is in a really desperate situation, and they had to pull out all the stops to win this game. And then I saw the line, and I go, well.
And then the other part is the Islanders lose last night, so now only one game in hand for them, and they're still behind the Flyers. The Flyers, it might be lining up for them. It might be lining up for the Flyers.
Well, here's the question. Like I said yesterday, do they play the kid tonight on the road in a playoffs-tested situation? I'm reading the pregame stuff, and they're going, most likely Elliott's going to play. When are you going to test the kid? Are you going to play two goalies in the playoffs?
No.
Oh, well, then what? Don't you have to give this kid a little road magic?
I agree with you on that.
We'll see what happens tonight. Hey, V, you got to be thinking along with me, Holmes.
And what's funny is it relates back to the Sixers, too. Now, the Sixers don't have the luxury of having a backup for Korkmaz and some of those other guys on the road. Those home road splits are part of why, because the Stars play it the same all the time. The question is, in the second half on the road, is will the new players be better than Korkmaz and some of those other guys, Mike Scott and Ennis and all those guys were on the road? Because
so it's going to tell me a lot about the coach tonight, but he pulls the trigger on Hart.
That's what you...
I got to be honest with you. You know, I like the guy. If he cheeses out tonight and goes with Elliott, I could take some points away.
So it's a 7 o'clock game for the Flyers. So then the question is, what time do they have to release it? How many... We'll find out during the show.
Yeah, we'll get our Flyers correspondence.
Yeah, we'll get them in the let us know.
For which we have none. But we got a guy. Oh, you got a guy? Well, we got Martinez. We'll call Martinez.
We'll call him, and I got another guy.
Probably on the scene.
My guy Tuck will help a brother out.
Okay.
He's a big gambling guy. Right. He'll help us out. He just, but he always gets the report. He bets hockey all the time. He's great at it.
Really?
But he won't pull the trigger until he sees he's really good at it. But he doesn't pull the trigger until he sees the goalie report.
Okay.
Because it's too early, you know, in the day.
All right. AB, if not now, then when?
That is a fair point.
It's a total fair point.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. You know, the Corkster already showed us that he doesn't handle pressure that great. He gets a little lemon butt, as you said.
Well, he did in the first half against the Clippers. I don't know if they, all due respect, I don't know if that's that fair to judge him 100% because of that one game. He did seem to be a little spooked by that game.
Yeah, it just seemed like, to me, his stroke looked a little different, like he was rushing it.
Yeah, so it was a rush, I'm nervous, I don't have enough confidence stroke.
Let me get this thing out of here before it gets blocked. And so you think he comes off the bench or...
Korkmaz?
Yeah.
I would start Glenn Robinson. Better defensive presence to start the game, a veteran guy, and then bring Korkmaz off the bench where the pressure might be less though. But I don't know what he's going to do. I'm thinking he's going to give Korkmaz one more shot, that he thinks it would be unfair to just give him a half as a starter and yak him.
Yeah. Well, I hope he gets his stroke back because they need the threes. But did Hart start the last game?
Yes, he beat Columbus at home. That's what I'm saying. A day off, he beat Columbus. You come back with the kid who beat Columbus.
Yeah.
If it's on the road. You gotta have faith in the kid now that the playoffs are coming up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, unless he's tired or hurt or something, I would prefer that he goes with Hart.
Unless, I guess it's been done before. I don't know how successfully it's been done. Unless Vigneault thinks that he can roll with two goalies in the playoffs.
We got the word.
Yeah.
Elliott is starting tonight.
See, that's not good. So what it tells me is it's not out of the question that they could use two goalies in a playoff situation.
Yeah.
That he's more comfortable with using two goalies because he doesn't think he should throw the kid into the fire to play every game in the playoffs.
You know, we do have to remember that he's really young. I'm trying to say we do have to look at it, and he's really young, and maybe he wants to not push him yet.
Well, listen, yet means he's not going to push him.
I'm saying this year, the next year. That's what I mean by yet.
I had to correct my own vision because I'm thinking of this whole time they would go one goalie in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't start him tonight, it's an indication to me that he's thinking that if they get to the playoffs, he may use two anyway. Like, he may use one of the road games he goes with Elliott.
Got you. Yeah.
Instead of just going hard. Go ahead, kid. It's yours. Yeah. I don't know if he's that kind of coach, and I don't know really when the last team that shared a goalie won a cup. I guess we can dig that out.
I thought that Detroit did it with Osgood, and I forget who else. I thought both guys played one of those Detroit championships with Chris Osgood and somebody. I'm trying to remember, though.
Was it Howard? Was it Howard and Osgood? Was Howard there? Yeah.
I don't know if they was it Hasek at the time? I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
I thought Detroit did it. Like, I think that sprung right to mind that it was Osgood plus in Detroit. But that's also a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. All right, let's go to Thomas in Germantown. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Thomas?
I got four questions.
Mm-hmm.
My first question is, I'm a wait-and-see guy. I think the Sixers can go far, but that's just me. And my second point is, Ben Simmons playing tonight because I heard a little bit that he has a stiffness in his back.
He's questionable, but he'll probably play.
Right. Okay. Here's the third and fourth one. Isaiah Thomas and Shaquille O'Neal. Now, maybe Ben Simmons is listening to Isaiah Thomas like Embiid was listening to Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, because I heard on different occasions on NBA TV on Game Time, Isaiah Thomas said that, "I'm not worried about Ben Simmons shooting no threes or no jump shot. I'm concerned about his foul shooting. If that picks up, that's good. Because if he's going to have the ball at the end of the game, he needs to be able to make his foul shots." Do you agree with this?
Well, he's not wrong. Obviously, he's going to make his foul shots. But the foul shot comes if he takes it strong to the basket. That's the issue. Isaiah's got to know that what Ben does is he stops going to the basket powerfully to get that foul. That's been the problem.
Also, too, Mike, Isaiah Thomas said when Magic Johnson came in, he didn't have a jump shot. And he relied on making his foul shot.
Yeah.
That's how he was making the comparison.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that Isaiah watched the Sixers every game. I think Isaiah makes, like, basic judgments. So,
what about
Magic Johnson shot the ball, at least. He may have been look good shooting it, but he did not shoot the ball. We're talking about a player who doesn't shoot the ball, ever.
You just got to answer this one. Shaquille O'Neal said, you can look this up. He said, too, that Ben Simmons don't have to take no jump shot. He can stay exactly the way he is right now.
Yeah, well, Shaquille O'Neal's full crap.
I'm just telling you what we're saying.
Shaquille O'Neal says a lot of things that don't make sense. Shaquille O'Neal rips Embiid for taking threes because he couldn't take a three. These guys they had their own agendas half the time. So, when you watch the Sixers in every dribble, then you talk about the Sixers with me. All right? Shaq and Barkley, both of you.
You know I agree.
Come on, man.
It's going to happen tonight. It's going to happen on Saturday.
Of course he has to take a jump shot, unless he attacks. Sometimes he attacks. Most of the time, he doesn't. I'm talking about 100% attack mode. Sometimes you'll see it. Most of the time, you won't, because they defend against it.
If he plays tonight, the Nets don't have somebody to guard him. He'll attack all night. But he did against the Clippers. But then against Boston, for example, when they do that wall-off defense, he sees that and doesn't just try to split it. He doesn't do any of that stuff when he sees that wall defense. You've been pointed out now for two seasons now.
I'd like to ask both of these guys. I line them all up. I don't care how great you are. Isaiah, Shaq, Barkley, your Uncle Billy, bring them all together. And I want to ask you one major question. What backcourt player has never taken a jump shot and been as great as he should have been? Who? Has there ever been a player in the history of Earth who did not shoot a jump shot? I understand Ben Simmons' great ability to get into the basket. I get it. But you've reduced yourself to having to get to the basket every single possession against defenses that are primed to stop you from going to the basket. Wouldn't a jump shot help? You just can't look past it. I'm a Big Ben guy, too, but you can't look past it. Spanky, Cobbs Creek, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Spanky.
You're right, Mike. And Magic did shoot it. He just didn't look.
He didn't look good shooting it, but he shot it.
But he shot it, yeah.
And eventually, he had a shot put shot. Eventually, like, it wasn't even a jump shot, but he made him.
Yeah, he made him. Yeah, he did made him. And I'm just hoping that Ben stays in attack mode. I mean, the camaraderie that we saw as far as in the All-Star game, and these guys was looking like they belong and that kind of stuff. I'm more excited about seeing what they do in this second half than the Flyers. And look, I ain't even a Flyers guy, but I've been paying attention. Them young guys are playing hard. And I respect the fact that they're doing it for their coach and stuff like that. But I think the Sixers going to make a run, Mike. I just really believe in them. I think with the two pieces that they got right now, and granted, I wanted them to get another point guard, but it is what it is. But I think they're going to make a run. I just believe it.
I hope you're right, man. At this particular moment, I don't see it. And I know you're saying this coming off maybe their best performance of the year, right?
Yeah. Well, listen, Mike, they only got, how many games they got left? What? 30? 30 games?
It's somewhere in there.
All right.
27 it is.
Okay. So I believe they go 20, No, I'm gonna say 20-7 if it's that.
Tyrone's got them winning 11 in a row.
Yeah, I think that I've seen the schedule. I think they can.
You
do
feel
that.
An 11 in a row run?
Yeah, Mike. I just think right with the two players that they got coming off the bench, they got not significantly better, but better than what they had, especially with the Mike Scotts and the James Ennis's guys. Mm-hmm. They can't play, but these guys give them more athleticism. They're gonna shoot the ball, and if Furkan can do what he was doing, I think they got a shot to go deep. And one more question, Mike. Y'all got some peanut chews down there?
I think we've run out of our allotment of peanut chews. We don't have anything in here. We don't have the scissors. I looked for scissors the other day. We don't even have an office.
I won some peanut chews a long time ago, and my girl keeps saying, did you ever go get them peanut chews from them? Because I like peanut
chews. See, you never came to pick them up, and your girl wanted the peanut chews? What's up with that, Spanky?
I know. See, and guess what, Mike? She brought it up on Valentine's
Day. Well, of course she did. She wasn't important enough to you? Do you come down and get some peanut chews?
Yeah, I forgot.
Come on, Spank.
Let me know where y'all get some peanut chews.
All right, buddy. God. That's not right. Oh, the girl asked for some peanut chews. All it took was a car ride down here to get a whole vat of peanut chews.
Come on. And he's a regular caller.
He is. Come on, Spank.
Come on. He's been here before, too. He knows exactly where to go.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to send anybody here now.
No.
I would invite, like, my little nephews.
You know,
to come see us. I couldn't even let them step in here.
I become buddies with a lot of the construction guys.
Yeah.
So it's not them.
It's not their fault. They're the contractors.
Yeah, it's not them. It's more like, you know, I feel like we weren't taken care of enough.
We are the station that time forgot.
Yeah, like.
We don't exist.
Yeah, where was the
people
love?
People that work for us, salespeople who sell us, won't come within 100 yards of that door. Ain't no bosses want to come down here, and no salespeople want to come down, and no vendors coming down here.
Unfortunately.
That's the colony of lepers. Don't go near it. People don't care. People listen don't care.
They should.
You talking about, you got a microphone in front of you. You got a studio. Be happy with it. By the way, I'm starting to get to dislike Shaq a lot.
I'm with you.
He's getting on my last nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, here's the thing. He Barkley says stupid crap all the time. But at least Barkley can laugh at himself.
Yes.
And can make a joke every once in a while. This dude is like, first of all, he's not watching basketball. You know Shaquille O'Neal's not the type of guy that's going to pore over basketball games when he goes home every night.
No, he does.
He just says the obvious stuff.
Right on the surface.
Yes.
And he also doesn't recognize the evolution of the game at all. So what he'll do is, and it's not just Embiid, it's any big man that does stuff that he didn't do. That's just his rant right. That day.
Listen, Shaq, I get it. You were the big monster man in the league. Nobody was as strong as you. You could get the ball. It doesn't matter what kind of defense. You could power through it and dunk it. That's great. That's fantastic. But guess what you also didn't do? You didn't shoot damn free throws either. You embarrassed yourself all your career with free throws. Plus, you could never venture out to the three-point line to spread things out, to make an occasional three like they do. At least say that about yourself.
Jokic, who I'm not a big fan of out in Denver, he's running point center at times up there. He's leading the team in assists. All Shaq does is dump on him. He's a great passer. You can't say that the guy's a great passer?
Yeah, he's going
like,
on
why
nerves.
Can't you say it?
He's on the nerves.
He's a great passer.
Yeah, who does him good? Jay Farrow.
Yes.
Jay Farrow does a good Shaq.
Yeah. You know, they did a roast.
You know who's the Utes to do him really well? Ariel Spears.
Yeah. Ari Spears. Yeah.
On Mad TV.
He did. Yeah, he's going through some stuff in real life.
Is he?
Yeah. Hopefully he does better.
We should get him doing Shaq. We can find that on a YouTube, right?
Yeah, I'll get that.
Let's get a little Shaq.
Did you stay up late Saturday for the roast?
I did. I watched the roast.
The Jay Farrell came out and did the Shaq on the roast.
Jay Farrell was good. Nobody else was any good.
Trying to think.
JB Smooth wasn't any good.
No.
I expected a lot more from him.
JB. And JB's on a roll on Curb. And he just.
No. Gary Payton was terrible.
He was the worst. Gary Payton was the worst. The roast. You know, Jeff Ross was the best.
Well, I miss Jeff Ross.
But he came on early. Yeah, he was on fairly early because of the NBA crowd.
I didn't see him.
It wasn't bad.
Well, Tiffany Haddish
was the host.
Who was that other lady? So I have a kind of attractive Indian name, maybe?
Yeah, Lily Singh.
She wasn't funny.
She was not funny. But I don't find her stand-up stuff funny, her character stuff. Yeah, but I mean she's making a lot of money.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think...
There's only one guy funny. It was Jay Farrow.
Yeah, that was...
All right, 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 247, Mike Missinelli Show. I just put a list in my head together. You're not a Billy Joel fan, are you?
I'm okay with Billy Joel.
You know what's funny? I'm just okay with him, too. And I can clearly say that he's probably a top 10 artist of all time.
Top 10 of all time?
Yeah. He's very prolific. Many hits.
All right.
Like he's kind of on an Elton John level when it comes to that kind of hit thing.
See, that's where I get mad.
Why?
Because I think Elton John is a step ahead.
They're both extremely talented, and Elton really didn't write his lyrics. So, you have to take some points away for that.
Did Billy Joel write all of his songs?
Absolutely. Every one of his songs.
All right.
But here's the thing about Billy Joel. Here's my list.
All right.
And I don't like the schmaltzy.
Out of that 80s stuff was schmaltzy.
I know. And I don't like any of that stuff. But I like the poignant stuff that he did. So, you can't take Piano Man away from him.
Well, right? Piano Man, it's a great
song.
Piano
Man or Captain Jack. Again, that's going like way back in Billy Joel.
Oh, okay.
Right? Captain Jack is just the heroin song.
All right.
But I'll leave Captain Jack on the outside for now. So it goes for me. Piano Man. New York State of Mind.
Yeah, see.
I'm in a New York State of Mind. Come on, man. That's a good tune. Sinatra quality.
I'll let you finish the list and I'll be able to explain.
She's got a way. She's got a way about her.
That's a good song.
Don't know what it is. All right. Good Night Saigon. Killer.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Very melancholy ballady. Poignant.
It's good with the piano.
Right, and finally, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
All right, well, hold on, Tyler. You said you think he's missing one?
I think there's one based on what I think I know about you. How do you feel about Vienna?
I like it.
I think that would crack my top five.
My top five are pretty set when it comes to him. But here's the thing about him. He's been married four times. Mm-hmm. He's written songs like every one of his wives. Like, when he writes the song, he doesn't realize that marriage isn't going to last.
Yeah.
So, he made a tribute. Like, his first wife was actually, he robbed her from his drummer in a first band that he started playing with.
That's what he did. He snaked him.
There were two guys.
Snaked him. Come on, Billy.
There were two guys. It was him and a partner. I forget what the name of the band was when he first started. Before he was Billy Joel, he was in the band with this other dude.
Yeah.
And wound up marrying the wife, and she became his manager for a long time. So he wrote, "She's always a woman to me," for her. Well, she was only a woman for about 10 years.
And then he found another woman.
And you know, he found.
That was Christy Brinkley.
Yeah, Christy Brinkley.
Yeah.
And he did Uptown Girls for her.
Yeah, that's big time out kicking his covers with her.
Oh, exactly. And then he married this chef.
Yeah.
Katie Lee.
I watch her show. I hate watch her show. She has a show called The Kitchen.
You hate watch her show?
I hate watch it. I hate the show. It's four chefs. I hate the show. And every Saturday when I'm free and home at like 11 o'clock, I watch it. But I hate the show. But I watch it.
Well, I forget the song he wrote for her. But now he's married to a younger girl. I mean, he's still together with her. I don't know if he's even still with the younger one. Then he married the fourth one.
So
he like writes songs like people get tattoos and then get divorced.
Yeah.
Like Katie Forever. Right?
2 years
later.
Katie's
not forever. Mm. But you know, the song is not like a tattoo, but it's still out there in the public domain. And yeah, everybody knows what it's about.
That's a good point. Now, this is one of my issues.
Very risky.
It's very risky. He should probably be a little more careful, but he won't. It's too late now. When you're a black guy and you start to go to bars, and the bars aren't just like black bars, Billy Joel will get on your damn nerves. Because the drunk white guy, like the Tyler lookalike at the bar, will put on the jukebox
Billy Joel.
The Billy Joel song and spill on you and sing it. And then Billy Joel gets on your damn nerves. So that makes you look at Billy Joel. I'm saying, man, get off me with that, Billy. Get off.
I completely see that. I don't even go there with that, right? That annoys me. But my man, before Christie, you know, he had Elle McPherson in the pocket.
What?
Oh yeah.
And
he looks like a raccoon.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? But you sit down. That's why I've always been an envious musician. You sit down and you just create something. Oh, hello. And you're playing piano and boom.
It's like hunting in the zoo.
Yes, it is. All right, let's go, Josh in Pennsylvania. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
How you doing? I'm just calling. I got a question for you. The Sixers, you know, they get me to rip my hair out of my head. I mean, how do they do so good at home and then on the road they look confused? I mean, and then come playoff time with the Ben Simmons thing, yeah, he can drive all he wants. If he can't shoot, he's not going to get to the paint come playoff time. They're gonna do the 3-2 defense in the playoff time. It just gets me all going to see how...
I can see where you're frustrated. Again, you have to evaluate. This is a new semi-era. You know, they added some players. They may play a little differently with Horford out of the lineup.
Yeah,
on the road, on the road, when you're good enough to do what you do at home, it's a lack of guts and confidence on the road. Yeah. That's what that is. Now, a lot of that is a coach's design, but a lot of it's just lack of will and you're getting intimidated. Yeah.
I agree. And it's like they're all talking about like trading a beat. I mean, it's just let's see what they can do. They're young, Stu. Let's do see what they can do. The Brown thing, I think if they don't get past the first round, I think they got to let him go. I love Brown. I really do. I'm a big Sixer fan. Me and my wife, we drive 300 miles to go and see the Sixers because I'm all the way like in the six of PA. We have seen 7 home games this year. I'm a big Sixer fan. I don't think we get out first round. I think Brown has to go.
Are you telling me something I don't know here? Are you saying that the Sixers would actually keep him if they don't get out of the first round? That's a foregone conclusion, bro.
I agree with that.
Come on. As soon as that final buzzer sounds, if they lose in the first round, he's gone?
I don't know. It's just...
We don't know. They lose in the first round? There's no way they can keep the coach.
If he loses in the first round, he has to go. Obviously... If he loses in the first round, he has to go. That's
not even a question. There's no way that it would. Well, maybe this owner is so oblivious that he would bring him back. I can't imagine. I mean, who cares? He's got his assets worth $2 billion now from when he bought it $287 million. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he just likes the joy of being around a team.
I don't know if Brett would want to come back.
Oh, he'd want to come back.
Not necessarily.
Sure he would.
I don't know. You're losing the first round with the... I know, but...
You'll come back. You're not going to get another head coaching job for a while.
Yeah, but he can do things. He can do TV. He's really bright. That accent would really work on TV. It really would. People would love to tune in to hear Brett Brown break down film. Break down tape and stuff. So, no, I think he would realize it's time to walk on a first round exit. You lose to Miami in the first round.
Mutual decision?
Yeah, it's one of those where... He walks away, he signs with TNT or ESPN, does TV for a year, gets some other job the following year.
Who would he replace, Reggie Miller? Hopefully he would.
Or Weber.
There's another guy on my last nerve.
Him too, another agenda guy. He pre-writes the game before
Reggie Miller is on my last nerve.
There you go.
610-632-0975. Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.